Okay. Well, I wanted to thank Jeff Mueller, Will DeShazer, Kenny Watkins, Ron Frazier, and Perry Parks for teaching over the past several weeks. Amen. I hope you've been encouraged. I've been very encouraged. And I hope we can continue that today. So turn to Revelation 19. We are going to look at the final chapters of Revelation today and next week, where we have the most detailed description of heaven in the Bible. I hope it will encourage us tremendously. We use that word a lot, but that's the theme scripture of this class, is encourage each other, one another, with these words about heaven. Amen. So Todd's going to read Revelation 19, 6 through 9.
Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah, for Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad, and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people." Then the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God."
Amen.
Amen. The marriage, the wedding of the Lamb, and the wedding supper of the Lamb. It says, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Wedding suppers are great celebrations. Amen. I went to one recently. And there's a picture of the head table, which was beautifully decorated. It was outdoors, you can see. It was a beautiful day, beautiful setting, beautiful scenery. Beautiful table settings, very rustic theme. I tried to get a picture later with everyone sitting there eating, but when I tried to take that picture, I think some people acted in a slightly goofy way. So I didn't like that picture as much. Not sure who that was acting in a goofy way, but he is sitting in the audience, so I won't point him out. It was a wonderful day, and wedding celebrations are like that. Wedding suppers are like that. You know, when you think about any great celebration, and when we just had Thanksgiving, right? That's usually a wonderful time for many of us of celebration with our families or friends, a great meal. We are thankful for all the things God has blessed us with. Christmas is like that coming up, a great time of celebration. We give each other gifts. We remember the birth of Jesus. You know, these are great celebrations. And a wedding is a great celebration of two people agreeing to be united in Christ for the rest of their lives. And that's what this is described as, the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's like that. It's going to be the greatest celebration of all time. It's going to be so much joy, so much fellowship, so much encouragement. I believe there'll actually be literal physical food there. It'll be a feast that God will prepare for us. It will be a great time. There will be laughter. Luke 6:21, the second half of that verse says there will be laughter, that we will laugh. We will have a great time. You will enjoy yourself at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And you can eat whatever you want. If I'm right that there's real food there, you can eat whatever you want. There won't be any health issues anymore with food. It will be good, and it will be good for you. Choice best of everything, prepared by God. Amen? And there will be tremendous fellowship there. Great conversation, right? Maybe family and friends you haven't seen in a long time. Maybe people who have died before us now, and they'll be there sitting near you at the table. Maybe your descendants, you know, you'll see meet your descendants or your ancestors, you know, who are faithful to God. You know, there'll be all kinds of people there at the wedding supper. The Bible says you'll be sitting at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, the heroes of the Bible will be there. You know, you can sit and talk to them. You know, David might be there. Abigail might be there. Esther, Ruth, you know, Moses, you know, New Testament people. I want to talk to Mary and find out, you know, hear the birth story. Hear the Christmas story from someone who was there, right? Wouldn't that be cool? I want to talk to the other Mary, Mary Magdalene. What would that be like? What was that like at the tomb on Easter, the very first Easter? I want to hear her tell that story. You know, this is the kind of thing that will happen, that we'll be able to do at the wedding supper and for the rest of eternity in heaven, have conversations like that. Amen? Amen. Okay, who does the scripture say will be the bride of Christ? The saints. All those who believed in God throughout history, who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the bride, the wedding, at the wedding of Christ. We will be the bride, collectively. And we'll be wearing fine linen, bright and pure. Right? I almost wrote awe in my notes. I knew y'all were going to say that. So, amen. And it says it stands for the righteous deeds of the saints. Okay, now, somewhere in your mind, you might have this Isaiah scripture. And that Isaiah scripture says that our righteous deeds are filthy rags, right? I want you to take that scripture and I want you to throw it away. This scripture says our righteous deeds are like fine linen that a bride would wear at a wedding. I think Isaiah is just talking about hypocrites, like Jesus talked about whitewashed tombs, you know, the Pharisees, you know, religious hypocrites. But I think faithful deeds done in humility by the followers of Jesus and all those who've loved God throughout history, the Bible teaches us right here, is fine linen, bright and clear, bright and pure, bright and clean. So as we do righteous deeds in service to God, we can rejoice in those. That God is helping us. God has inspired us to do that. When Grubb teaches in the children's ministry, he's sewing the wedding dress of the bride of Christ. Okay? Amen. Or when John and Kathy are back there preparing communion for us, you know, or getting it all together and getting the ushers organized. You know, those are deeds that are preparing the wedding dress that we will wear. And all of us, as we serve God in all kinds of different ways, that's what we are doing. Amen? Amen. Okay. In Ephesians 5, Paul says that a human marriage is like the marriage of Christ in the church. Right? And that a human marriage should pattern after that. I should be like Jesus as a husband in my marriage, and my wife should be like the church and how the church responds to Jesus in our marriage. That's what Paul says. But then he says, well, I'm not really talking about human marriage. I'm talking about Christ and the church. That's the more important one. That's the one that, you know, this is just a shadow of, right? And my marriage brings me great joy. My marriage to Barbara brings me great joy. But our marriage to Christ in heaven will bring us tremendous joy. Unfathomable joy. Everlasting joy. That's what that relationship will bring us in heaven. And it's just, you know, amazing to look forward to think about that, to be excited about that, to recognize that that's what we will have with Jesus forever and ever. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, comments about the wedding supper of the Lamb, about the bride of Christ, anything that encourages you? Yes, sir.
But in verse 8 it says, like you mentioned and emphasized, fine linen, bright clothes given her to wear, and it stands for the righteous acts of the saints, and it encourages me that God gives us acts to do on his behalf that makes us clean. If God works through us, we are, we're created into what he wants us to be created into. So I feel like it kind of reminds me of that verse that says that we're co-workers with God.
Amen.
And as we do things that God wants us to do, you know, we look like that.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm looking forward to getting to know the people that I read about every day. And that's the thought of that is just inspiring in itself.
Yeah, people in the Bible need to talk to it. Amen. Anybody else? Okay. Well, we'll have more opportunity to talk later in the class. Okay, we'll turn over to Revelation chapter 21. We're going to read verses. Donnell's, is Donnell in here? Oh, there he is. Donnell is going to read verses 1 through 7. I'm going to talk about them for a few minutes, and then later I'll open it up for comments. So as he reads through this and as I talk about it, you think about what verse in here encourages you the most that you want to share about. Go ahead.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, but the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, and those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and the liars, they will be signs of fear, fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second."
Thank you. Amen. Okay. These verses in Revelation here and next, and the ones we'll read next week are some of my favorite ones in the whole Bible. I come back to them over and over again to be encouraged about the promises of God. He says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And then a little bit later he says, "I will make everything new." You know, in Genesis 1 and verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? And here it says those heavens and earth, the old ones, the ones we see now, will pass away. Bible says they'll be burned up, they'll be gone. But God will create a new heaven and a new earth. And that's what he's talking about here. That's a new heaven and a new earth that will be the place where we will live in eternity. And you think about that, you know, the original creation proclaims the glory of God, right? There are things in nature that are amazing to see. You know, the fall colors we've just enjoyed, springtime. And Atlanta is beautiful. You know, sunsets, sunrises. You think about the stars, all the amazing things that are out there in the galaxy. Well, God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And it's going to be at least as good as this one, almost certainly better, more amazing, more incredible, that we will be able to see, that we will be able to enjoy. A new heaven, you know, new stars, new everything, and a new earth. And it's an earth. You know, it's a tangible, physical place where we can walk around in our resurrected bodies. That's what the Bible is saying. But it'll be new, fresh, glorious. You know, nothing will be old or corrupted or run down or wear out. It'll be new. You know, I don't know if there'll be cars in heaven, but if there are, there'll be nice, shiny, new cars. You know, they won't be old clunkers that break down. Amen. The earth will be liberated from decay. There won't be decay. That won't happen. You know, there'll be amazing things beyond our wildest imagination. You know, maybe lions who eat straw. That's somewhere in the Bible. You know, just all kinds of stuff. And maybe the new earth will have some of the same places as the older, sort of recreated, right? Many of us have a bucket list of things you want to see before you kick the bucket. I do. I was talking about one the other night with my wife, Church of the Holy Sepulchre. But, you know, it's perhaps you'll be able to, if you don't get to them in this life, perhaps they'll still be there for you to see after you kick the bucket. We've talked about going to Yosemite. Todd says it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. He's been there. I want to go there. Barb wants to go there. But the main reason to go there is to hike and enjoy it. And Barb's not really able to hike because of knee surgery she had. I don't know if we'll ever be able to go to Yosemite and hike, but I'm hoping the new earth will have a new and better Yosemite, and we can go hike it then and see what it's like. Amen? I don't know exactly what will be there, but I know that it will be a wonderful place. Okay, and then he says there'll be a new Jerusalem, the holy city coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, just like we saw a few slides back. There we go. Picture for Mary since she came in late. Okay. There we go. That wasn't meant as a dig. I was just trying to show her the picture she didn't get to see. New heaven coming down. Okay, I mean a new Jerusalem, the holy city. You know, the Bible, we've looked at several scriptures, Isaiah, Hebrews. It refers to it as a city. Heaven is a city, a place we can live, a place with all kinds of beautiful things in it that we'll talk about later in the chapter, maybe next week. You know, I love songs about heaven. You know, I read one at the end of every class. But some of them have their geography wrong. You know, they talk about heaven being somewhere beyond the blue. But this verse says that heaven will come down. This new Jerusalem will come down. It will be below the blue, okay? Below the new heaven, on the new earth, will be the new Jerusalem. It says that three times in the book of Revelation, that the new city, the holy city, will come down. Okay, it's again, it's on the terra firma, physical earth, the new Jerusalem that we can walk around in and enjoy. With streets and rivers and trees and all that stuff. We'll talk about either this week or next week. And anything good that you've ever enjoyed about a city, well, it'll be there, only better, okay? There'll be music, okay? There'll be architecture, beautiful things. You know, there'll be all kinds of rich stuff. Isaiah 60 is a parallel to the Revelation, and it talks about all the wonderful stuff of the world that we can imagine will be there. You know, gold, silver, frankincense, camels. Well, I don't know about camels, but they liked camels back then. You know, flocks, just everything you want to enjoy life will be there. Amen? And the Bible says Jesus is preparing a place for us. Right, Jesus is preparing a place, a specific place, for us to live in the new city, in the holy city. You know, just think about that. You know, think about if people have sometimes prepared a place for you, maybe for the holidays, to come stay with them. Well, Jesus is preparing a place for you to come and stay for all eternity. And it will be a place that you will like. Okay, it's prepared just for you, for what you like, for what, you know, what's suited for you, a wonderful place for you. You know, Jerome translated it mansions, and so we sometimes say Jesus is praying a mansion for you. Whatever, it's a wonderful place that Jesus is preparing for you in the city. And there's plenty of room in the city for all of us. It's a huge city. And it will be like no place we've ever been, but it will be home. It will be more like home than any place we've ever been. There'll be nothing bad there. There will be only good things there. Tremendous joy all the time. Amen? And the dwelling of God will be with men. And that word means men and women, all people. God will come down and dwell in the city with us. He will be our God, and we will be his people. You think about that. God won't be far away anymore. God won't be up there, out there, beyond somewhere. God will be with us. He will be with us, and we will belong to him. We will be his people. There will be a complete, utter sense of security there. We will belong to God, and he will be with us. It's an amazing thing. You know, Perry talked last week about the most wonderful thing about heaven is our relationship with God. And that's what it's emphasizing here. Jesus will be there. God the Father will be there. And we will have a close relationship, like the scripture before about the marriage talks about. We will have a close relationship. His throne will be there. You know, heaven in the sense of the throne room of God won't be somewhere else. It'll be right there in New Jerusalem, on the new earth, with us. And we will be able to worship him in his presence. You know, which is an amazing thing. You know, every time someone in the Bible sees God on his throne, it's just overwhelming. Isaiah, Ezekiel, we looked at these scriptures. It's just, you know, and John here in Revelation, it's just an amazing thing to be able to worship God in his presence. You know, we try to worship God as best we can here in this life. And we do a good job here, I think, in this church. I appreciate our worship team enormously. But that worship there will be amazing. It'll be amazing. Thousands and thousands and thousands. It says myriads and myriads, 10,000 times 10,000 of angels will be there joining in the worship service. It's just going to be amazing. It won't get boring. You know, sometimes I think, oh, a poor worship service. It's not going to get boring, okay? And that's not all that will be there. There will be other stuff there, too. I mean, it's a city. It has trees. It has a river. It has, you know, a street. There's walls, and there's stuff outside the city. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. It's a new earth. It's a new heaven. You know, I don't know. Maybe there's space travel, and we can go visit Mars. But I don't know what all will be there, but the center of it all will be seeing God, being with God. Having a relationship with God, being able to sit down and have a talk with Jesus. I mean, we talked about talking with all the other people from the Bible. Well, you can sit down and talk with Jesus. You know, just like the apostles did when he was on earth, you'll be able to talk to him. And there won't be any time pressure, right? You know, it's like there's eternity. Now, everybody gets a turn. I know you might have to wait for your turn, you know, for 100,000 years. But once you get your turn, you know, you can talk to Jesus for a long, long time. You know, or one author of the book I've been reading to prepare for this book, he thinks maybe Jesus can be in more places, more than one place at the same time. I don't know. But it doesn't really matter. Even if he can only be in one place, you know, we got all eternity. We can all take our turn and we can get a week or two or a month with Jesus, you know, whatever, a year. There'll be plenty of time. Or you get a second turn, you know, a million years from now, you get a second turn to hang out with Jesus. I don't know. But, you know, you get to be with Jesus and you get to worship God in his presence. It's going to be amazing. I mean, we can just let our imaginations run wild. I mean, it's okay to do that. I think the imagery in the book of Revelation and Isaiah and some of it's like, it's designed to spark your imagination. I mean, it is at least as good as what the book describes, right? And it's almost certainly better and more and just beyond human language. Amen? Amen. Okay. It says he will wipe away every tear. You know, we've read this before, and it was in the book of Isaiah, that God will wipe away every tear. The old order of things will pass away. All the bad stuff of this life will be gone. Wiped away. All the things that cause us to cry here will be gone. The old order of things. There will be no death. No one will die. There won't be any funerals. There'll be no cemeteries. No one will die. We will not experience that again. No loss of loved ones, no grief, no sorrow. All of that will be gone. We will have each other forever. You know, if you're hanging out with somebody just like Jesus, you know, I'm hanging out with Perry for, you know, a couple of years, and then I go somewhere else, well, he'll always be there, and I can come and, you know, 1,000 years later, I can come back and hang out with Perry again, right? Or Grubb or Jeff or, you know, Alvin, anybody. You know, our relationships will go on forever. They will never end. We can always pick up where we left off if we go visit somebody else. Or we want to go to Yosemite and go hiking. We can always come back later and visit whoever we want to. It says there'll be no pain. Right? No physical pain. No suffering. No disease. No infirmity. That be okay, Buell? That be good? No. We'll all be perfectly healthy. And strong, okay? None of that, whatever holds you down, physically, mental illness, all those things will be taken away. No pain. No pain. Wiped away by the hand of God. No suffering, no injury, no automobile accidents, no murders or crime. None of that stuff. Nothing to cause any sorrow or grief or anguish. It will all be gone, and in its place will be joy. Rejoicing, good things, feasts, fellowship, just amazing things to see, amazing things to do and experience. The Bible, it's indescribable. The Bible is just the starting place for how great it's going to be. Amen? Okay. It says, we will drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. A beautiful image that God will give us eternal life. And a reference to grace, right? Without cost. We don't earn all this stuff. We can't earn all this stuff. God gives it to us as part of his grace. Jesus dying on a cross purchased this for us. So we are given these things without cost. That's wonderful to know, that I don't have to earn it. You know, it's not like, you know, like passing a test. You know, all the students are going through finals this week, but and the teachers are having to give them and prepare them, but it's not like that, right? Jesus will, you know, on Judgment Day, we will pass. Our names are written in the Book of Life because of what Jesus has done for us. Amen? Drink without cost. And we'll talk about the River of Life next week, but I believe it's a real river there flowing through the city that you can walk there and drink from. But the image is that we, you know, there won't be any thirst. There won't be any need, right? All our whatever needs we have will be totally satisfied all the time. You know, it won't be like this life where we're sometimes frustrated or can't have what we need or what we want or what we desire. But there we will always have what we need, what we want, what we desire, what's good for us all the time in abundance. I mean, that's what the Bible is saying. Just amazing stuff. Now, he does say we have to overcome, right? To inherit all of this as God's children, we do have to overcome. You know, we do have to overcome sin. We do have to repent of sin. We do have to turn to Jesus and follow Jesus. We're not earning anything, but we do have to respond, right? We do. We can't just, you know, live a sinful life and you know, ignore God and expect to go to heaven. It doesn't quite work that way. We do have to overcome. So that's the encouragement. Encourage one another with these words. You know, don't miss out on heaven. Don't miss out on this good stuff. You know, there's nothing in this life worth trading for this. Absolutely nothing. So don't let Satan deceive you. Don't let any of the allure of things here, or just the addiction of some of things here, don't let any of that distract you from making it to heaven. We all want to overcome and be there. Amen? Amen. Okie dokie. Well, cool. So what do y'all think? Comments, thoughts? What encouraged you? Danny. Amen. Amen.
When you're talking about the time we spend with Jesus, heaven is outside time. We don't even know what that's like. Everything that we know ends. It had a beginning, it ends, because it's all created. And we don't even have a frame of reference for thinking about what it's going to be like with no time there. I will never be late again.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to that tremendously.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Peter?
So I have, when I read things like this, I have a belief problem, which is when I read, you know, to wipe every tear from your eyes, there's no sorrow, no pain, no ending. And I believe what I read, but I really have a hard time figuring out how to translate that into anything meaningful. Those who know me know I work in logic. I'm working logistics of my life. Got to get this done. I'm going to give up this so I can get that done. I'm time-binding things. I'm working through all that. I live so much there that the release of that pressure. We went to a retirement party yesterday for someone, and the way I try to envision this is retirement times a million or whatever, right?
Amen.
It's just release. How do you do that?
Amen. Oh, well, I'm happy to try to figure it out. Karen? Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, I think she already did. I think one of the biggest things I've learned is from a philosophical standpoint, one of the biggest objections towards the existence of God is suffering. And one of the things you see here in the text is how Christ, or how God responds to suffering. How he's like, he's willing to wipe it away, which means like, he understands. He's like, hey, you know what? I'm willing to, you know, wipe it away to let you know that, hey, I'm sorry you have to go through that. You know what I mean? So it's like he's in there with us. I suffer too.
Yeah.
But it's like he responds to the objections to the existence of God.
Yeah, he knows how we feel. Jesus went through things too. But it's light and momentary compared to the eternal weight of glory. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I mean, I think this, all of this is great, and a lot of the things that have been shared, I totally agree with. I mean, all of them I agree with, obviously. But the time thing is, I'm so looking forward to not having, to just being able to have enough time to not have to try to fit everything in, to get with everyone, to meet my commitments at work, at home, at, you know. And I just imagine heaven as my house is always clean, always organized. My work is always exactly where it needs to be. There's never any stress. I can't get with my friend, or I don't have time to do this. I have all the time in the world, and I'm so looking
forward. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I guess it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot to think about and hope for, thinking about heaven. But I just really thought about something. Because, like, my whole life, I was always, like, just asking God, how come I couldn't just, like, you could have made me in heaven. I would have been cool as an angel. So I wouldn't have to suffer. Because when you were talking about there would be no more suffering, there would be no more pain and crying. I thought about why is God doing this? Like, why did he create us to be here? And because he knew what was going to happen when he created Adam and Eve. And then I was thinking about God is looking at eternity. So when we get to eternity, we're going to really understand what it was like without him. So we'll be, like, grateful for heaven. It's our choice to follow God now so we can go to heaven. So when we're in heaven, it's not going to be like with what happened with the devil and how he fell and was really trying to make himself above God. We really understand, okay, we used to be we were born in the state that we were without him. So now we can really appreciate what heaven is, what it is.
Yes.
And we won't take that gift for granted.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I'm sorry I'm running low on time. I was afraid this would happen. Okay. Well, I always close out with a song. So what song y'all want to hear? Free Bird. Okay. Free Bird it is. Okay. Yeah, we'll sing it later in service, okay? I can't sing it, but we are going to do call and response, okay? So your part up there is written down, but you know what to say, okay? Some glad morning when this life is o'er. To a land on God's celestial shore. When the shadows of this life have grown, like a bird from prison bars have flown. Just a few more weary days and then. To a land where joy shall never end. Yes, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Amen.